Hello, this is Pastor Nick Hood, and today I will be reading from 2 Kings chapters 4 and 5. This is where we are introduced, the reader is introduced to the prophetic power and compassion of Elisha, the successor to Elijah. And in these two chapters, we have several stories that dramatize his power. Let us begin with Elisha and the widow's oil. This is in chapter 4 from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Now the wife of a member of the company of prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but a creditor has come to take my two children as slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She answered, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." He said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not just a few. Then go in and shut the door behind you and your children, and start pouring into all these vessels. When each is full, set it aside." So she left him and shut the door behind her and her children. They kept bringing vessels to her, and she kept pouring. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." But he said to her, "There are no more." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your children can live on the rest." One day, Elisha was passing through Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived who urged him to have a meal. So whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for a meal. She said to her husband, "Look, I am sure that this man who regularly passes our way is a holy man of God. Let us make a small roof chamber with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that he can stay there whenever he comes to us." One day when he came there, he went up to the chamber and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him. He said to him, "Say to her, since you have taken all this trouble for us, what may be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?" She answered, "I live among my own people." He said, "What then may be done for her?" Gehazi answered, "Well, she has no son and her husband is old." He said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood at the door. He said, "At this season in due time, you shall embrace a son." She replied, "No, my Lord, O man of God, do not deceive your servant." The woman conceived and bore a son at that season in due time, as Elisha had declared to her. When the child was older, he went out one day to his father among the reapers. He complained to his father, "O my head, my head." The father said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." He carried him and brought him to his mother. The child sat on her lap until noon, and he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, closed the door on him, and left. Then she called to her husband and said, "Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys so that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again." He said, "Why go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." She said, "It will be all right." Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Urge the animal on. Do not hold back for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Look, there is the Shunammite woman. Run at once to meet her and say to her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is the child all right?'" She answered, "It is all right." When she came to the man of God at the mountain, she caught hold of his feet. Gehazi approached to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for she is in bitter distress. The Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, 'Do not mislead me?'" He said to Gehazi, "Gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go. If you meet anyone, give no greeting. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. And lay my staff on the face of the child." Then the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave without you." So he rose up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was no sound or sign of life. He came back to meet him and told him, "The child has not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. So he went in and closed the door on the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he got up on the bed and lay upon the child, putting his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And while he lay bent over him, the flesh of the child became warm. He got down, walked once to and fro in the room, then got up again and bent over him. The child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." So he called her. When she came to him, he said, "Take your son." She came and fell at his feet, bowing to the ground. Then she took her son and left. Now we go to the story of Elisha purifying the pot of stew. When Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was a famine in the land. As the company of prophets was sitting before him, he said to his servant, "Put the large pot on and make some stew for the company of prophets." One of them went out into the field to gather herbs. He found a wild vine and gathered from it a lapful of wild gourds, and came and cut them up into the pot of stew, not knowing what they were. They served some for the men to eat, but while they were eating the stew, they cried out, "O man of God, there is death in the pot." They could not eat it. He said, "Then bring some flour." He threw it in the pot and said, "Serve the people and let them eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Now we turn to the story of Elisha feeding 100 men. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing food from the first fruits to the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them. They ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. So that's the conclusion of chapter 4. Because I'm going to read chapter 5, I'm going to ask you some questions on what I've just read. Number one, what did you learn about Elisha from the miracle stories in chapter 4? Number two, what are the similarities between the Elijah and Elisha miracle stories? What are the differences? Three, what are the primary characteristics you observe in Elisha? And finally, do you have any other thoughts after reading this chapter? I'd like to move on now to chapter 5. And this is the story of the healing of Naaman, the leper. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. So Naaman went in and told his Lord just what the girl of the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel. He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, when this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a present from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will accept nothing. He urged him to accept, but he refused. Then Naaman said, if not, please let 2 mule loads of earth be given to your servant, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any god except the Lord. But may the Lord pardon your servant on one account. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaning on my arm, and I bow down in the house of Rimmon, when I do bow down in the house of Rimmon, may the Lord pardon your servant on this one count. He said to him, go in peace. But when Naaman had gone from him a short distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, my master has let that Aramean Naaman off too lightly by not accepting from him what he offered. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something out of him. So Gehazi went after Naaman. When Naaman saw someone running after him, he jumped down from the chariot to meet him and said, is everything all right? He replied, yes, but my master has sent me to say, 2 members of a company of prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of clothing. Naaman said, please accept 2 talents. He urged him and tied up 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of clothing and gave them to 2 of his servants who carried them in front of Gehazi. When he came to the citadel, he took the bags from them and stored them inside. He dismissed the men and they left. He went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, where have you been, Gehazi? He answered, your servant has not gone anywhere at all. But he said to him, did I not go with you in spirit when someone left his chariot to meet you? Is this a time to accept money and to accept clothing, olive orchards and vineyards, sheep and oxen, and male and female slaves? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever. So he left his presence leprous, as white as snow. We've just concluded the reading of the fifth chapter of the book of 2 Kings. I'd like to now, while it's still fresh in your mind, offer some questions for reflection. Number one, what are your thoughts about the healing of Naaman? Two, what does this story tell you about the character of Elisha? Three, has there ever been a time in your life when the solution of a problem was more simple than you imagined? Like the command of Elisha that Naaman wash in the River Jordan, as opposed to going back to one of the rivers of Damascus. Four, what are your thoughts about the servant Gehazi attempting to enrich himself without the knowledge of Elisha? And finally, what other thoughts have come to your mind after reading this chapter? Let us pray. Lord, grant me the faith to seek a blessing. Lord, grant me the compassion to bestow favor upon those in need. Lord, make me humble. Lord, make me gracious. Lord, make me kind. Help me in my desire to be more like thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is Pastor Nick Hood, pastor and senior minister of the Plymouth United Church of Christ. We've just concluded the fourth and fifth chapters of the second book of Kings. Tomorrow, I will set out on chapter 6, and I hope that you will join me in this reading. God bless, and God keep you.